We're here to discuss the details of three cases that led to significant seizures of cocaine, fentanyl, meth, drug paraphernalia, and illegal weapons. Now, these cases are unrelated to each other, but the common denominator is really the collaboration of the law enforcement officers that are up here. So by way of introduction, we have Supervisory Special Agent Clint Winters, District Attorney Mike Kane, Sheriff John Garcia, Chief of the Sheriff's Office Narco and Intel Unit DJ Granville, and Buffalo Police Chief of Detectives Craig Macy. So chronologically, the first case involves an individual well known to law enforcement, identified as Delshawn Hamilton. The Buffalo Police Department, the FBI, and our Narcotics and Intel Unit participated in a month-long investigation that culminated 2 weeks ago with two search warrants at 19 Poplar Street in the city of Buffalo. The first warrant led to the recovery of scales, packaging, and a loaded Taurus 9mm handgun. And after further investigation, detectives served a second search warrant at the same residence and recovered 0.75 kilo of fentanyl and 0.25 kilo of cocaine. As an aside, detectives determined a relative of Hamilton's OD'd on this product we recovered a week earlier. So Hamilton was obviously arrested, and I'll let DA Mike Kane discuss those specifics with you. The second case wrapped up with the execution of two search warrants and the arrest of 35-year-old Christian Burgos Torres. The first search warrant in that matter was conducted at 209 Fugeron Street in Buffalo, which was being utilized as his stash house, and detectives recovered 0.75 kilogram of cocaine. We're looking at a street value of about close to 50 grand. The second search warrant was served at 258 Langfield in the city of Buffalo, which was occupied by defendant's wife and his three children, one of which is severely autistic. Detectives recovered an unsecured loaded Glock 9mm, crack cocaine, a scale, drug paraphernalia, and approximately $20,000 in cash. And again, DA Mike Kane can elaborate on those charges. And then lastly was an investigation in Amherst that was headed up by the BPD Intel Squad under Chief Macy's command, and our detectives assisted. The target in this matter was 41-year-old convicted felon Joseph Kremke, Jr. He was stopped in his car, and detectives recovered a quantity of meth on his person. And thereafter, a search warrant was executed at 426 Irvington Drive in the town of Amherst, where detectives recovered an additional quantity of meth and a cache of weapons that are on full display here, including 4 AR-15 assault rifles, 1 AK-47 assault rifle, 3 pistols, and 3 shotguns. So I'll turn it over to District Attorney Mike Kane for his comments.
Thank you, Undersheriff. So I'm going to go with Delshawn Hamilton first. He was arrested on September 30th. Let me start by saying this. All of the three men that are that we just talked about, that Undersheriff laid out the investigations and the charges on, all three of them are presumed innocent unless and until found guilty. These are allegations at this point, but these are very serious allegations. Delshawn Hamilton was arrested on September 30th, and he was arraigned the next day in Buffalo City Court, October 1st. A felony hearing was scheduled and conducted on October 4th. There was also a federal probation detainer. And I point that out because even though we ran the felony hearing to try to keep Mr. Hamilton in custody, he was not held. So we moved forward with our investigation, and he was able to be, we were able to hold him in custody because of the federal detainer. And we just completed our investigation. The grand jury reported out an indictment this morning, and he has been charged with three counts: a criminal possession of a controlled substance in the first degree, for possessing more than 8 ounces of fentanyl. That is a Class A1 felony, and he could be sentenced to a determinate sentence of between 12 and 24 years. The second count is criminal possession of a controlled substance in the third degree. That's also for the possession of fentanyl with the intent to sell. And I believe the evidence with respect to Mr. Hamilton is here on the far table on my right. Is that correct? And finally, the third count is the criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree. That's a Class C violent felony. That gun is also on the table. That's a loaded, unlawfully possessed firearm, and that is a C violent felony. For that, Mr. Hamilton is facing up to 15 years in prison. Even though the indictment reported out today, we don't have an arraignment date scheduled in Superior Court. It'll probably be scheduled most likely sometime next week. And we'll proceed forward with the case in front of a Superior Court judge beginning sometime next week. The second case involving Christian Burgos Ramos, which is the evidence that you see here in front of you today, involves an arrest that occurred just a couple of days ago, October 14th. He was arraigned the next day, which was yesterday, October 15th, in Buffalo City Court, and a felony hearing is scheduled for October 18th. Now, when we appeared at the felony hearing yesterday, our office asked for remand, and the judge set bail in the amount of $50,000 A through E. Mr. Burgos Ramos posted, and so he is not in custody. At this point, we understand that the felony hearing is scheduled for October 18th, but the whole point of a felony hearing, when we run felony hearings, it's to keep the defendant that's charged in custody. So because he's not in custody, the chances of us running that felony hearing are pretty slim. We will proceed forward with the investigation and move forward in an appropriate manner. But the charges that he faces are criminal possession of a controlled substance in the first degree, for possessing more than 8 ounces of cocaine. That is a Class A1 felony. He's also charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance in the third degree. That is possession with intent to sell, and possession of drug paraphernalia. That's with respect to the drugs and the paraphernalia that were found at one location on Folgeron Street. And then there was the other address on Langfield, and he's charged with a number of different counts involving drugs. Criminal possession of controlled substance in the third degree, a B felony, criminal possession of a controlled substance in the fourth degree, a C felony. Those are with intent to sell, and the drug was crack cocaine. And then we have criminal possession of a firearm, which is an E felony. That's, I believe, on the table in front of us, and he is that was a Glock 9mm. And then he's got two additional counts. Three. One is an endangering the welfare of a child, which is an A misdemeanor, and possession of drug paraphernalia, which is also an A misdemeanor. So again, we asked for remand for Mr. Burgos Ramos. He was able to post bail, and we're going to be moved forward with this investigation and the prosecution of this case. So we don't have a return date. It'll most likely be sometime down the road after the felony hearing date is more likely than not going to be adjourned, as I mentioned. Finally, the case in Amherst, which is Mr. Krempa, and that's the evidence that's on the table on my far left. Mr. Krempa was just arrested yesterday. He's been charged with a number of different counts, which I'll go through in a second, and he was arraigned this morning in Amherst Town Court. Now, the most serious count he's charged with is criminal possession of a weapon in the first degree. That's a B violent felony, and it's the allegation is that he possessed 10 or more firearms. And you can see those firearms in front of us here today. And I know it includes a number of AR-15s and an AK-47, and a lot of ammunition. There is some additional counts. There are 11 counts of criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree. Those are all individual charges related to all the 11 different guns that are on the table. And then we also charged him with criminal possession of a weapon in the third degree, which is the possession of extended magazines. There are 14 separate counts related to that charge. There's a charge of criminal possession of a weapon in the third degree, which is possessing 3 or more firearms. And finally, there are 3 A misdemeanors, a criminal possession of a controlled substance, cocaine. It's meth. Criminal possession of controlled substance in the seventh degree for the possession of meth and the possession of the drug paraphernalia, and the endangering the welfare of a child. Those are A misdemeanors. Now, Mr. Krempa's most serious charge, as I mentioned, is the very first one I mentioned, the criminal possession of a weapon in the first degree for possessing 10 or more firearms. That carries with it a sentence of as much as 25 years in state prison, and then the 11 separate counts for the criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree carry as much as 15 years in state prison. So now we appeared, as I said, this morning for the arraignment. We do not have a return date for Mr. Krempa. Of course, our office appeared in Amherst We asked for remand, and the judge set bail in the amount of $100,000 cash, $75,000 property, and $100,000 bond, which would mean that Mr. Krempa would have to post a mere $10,000 in order to be out on the streets. So that's unfortunate, of course. You know, there are a lot of weapons here. This is a very dangerous situation. And I should say again, once, you know, look, these are only allegations. He's presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. But, you know, all of this evidence, I think it's fair to say, has you know, made this community safer. And it's, you know, in large part because of, you know, the men that are standing up here with me today and the collaboration that all of our offices, you know, do together. We work extremely well together. But, you know, the men that are, and women that do the work on the streets in the city of Buffalo, in the towns, especially in this case, Amherst, are really all behind you. You don't see them all on camera, but they do the hard work that's necessary here in getting these, you know, these weapons and the ammunition and the fentanyl that is killing our, you know, members of our community every day is, you know, off the streets, and we're lucky for that. So I commend the work of my partners, and that concludes my remarks. If anybody has any questions, but I'm sure the sheriff or some of my other colleagues may want to speak. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. DA, and what a pleasure it is working with you each and every day. This DA is a 24/7 guy, professional, and it makes our life easier as law enforcement professionals to be able to count on somebody like DA Quinn. I'm sorry, I'll be Flint. I almost called you Flint. DA Mike Kane, each and every day. I couldn't be prouder of our Erie County Sheriff's Office Narcotics and Intel Squad, led by Chief DJ Granville, and our great partners, Chief Macy and Clint. Thank you so much. And yes, we have a great team up here, but it's the rank and file that really work together so well. They respect each other. They're so talented. This just doesn't happen overnight. It's a lot of surveillance. It's a lot of intel gathering. And I got to tell you, you know, how many lives were saved? We'll never know. But that's the ultimate goal of law enforcement, is to prevent crime, save lives before this poison hits the street. I mean, Delshawn Hamilton, it's been around for a long time. He was tagged years ago with, almost a decade ago, with the name Merchant of Death. He's been around for so long that I was in Affion in a search warrant at his house where we recovered a lot of fentanyl back in 2015, I think it was. And as you see from all the narcotics, be it the fentanyl, the cocaine, the meth, what you also see is weapons. So these are violent characters that we took out of the community with the assistance of the FBI Safe Streets Task Force, with Buffalo Police, with Amherst Police, and we couldn't do it without the Erie County District Attorney's Office led by Mike Kane. I'm very proud of the people. I look at this, and this scares the hell out of me, because if this fentanyl gets out to the community, and to show the disregard that this individual has for the people that are users, that his own mother overdoses on his product, and she survived, but for his own mother to overdose on his product, he does not care about the people that he's selling these drugs to. And with Mr. Burgos and Mr. Kremka, you see the violent individuals that they are. They're protecting their drug territory with these illegal weapons. This individual is not allowed to have any of these weapons. He's a violent felon. And same goes for Mr. Burgos Ramos. Again, I want to thank everybody. It's about being preemptive and taking this poison and these guns off the street, rather than trying to solve a case down the road where somebody overdoses from fentanyl, somebody gets shot, killed, and then we're trying to respond. So I want to thank my partners again. I want to thank all the men and women that are out there doing this very dangerous work. And I want to commend them, because all these search warrants went without anyone getting injured. And that says a lot about the case. It starts with a complaint, maybe an arrest, investigation, working with the DA's office, getting a search warrant signed, and then the execution of the search warrant. Very dangerous. And all these individuals were taken out and put in custody without anyone getting hurt. And I want to commend every single person. Thank you. Any questions to anybody, please feel free.
For these first two, you said there was two different search warrants. Is that common to have like two places to go through?
Yes, yeah, because sometimes you gain intel from the first one that gives you the probable cause to then go to another residence. And it goes to show that with the Erie County Sheriff's Office, I mean, we cover 600 square miles. It's a primary law enforcement agency. However, it does not stop us from working with our great partners at Buffalo Police. It doesn't stop us from working with our great partners at Amherst Police. And, of course, with the FBI-led Safe Streets Task Force. We go anywhere, but it's not uncommon because one leads to another. Sometimes you get intel. Depending on the evidence that I can't talk about now. But the important part is that very experienced investigators, detectives, they take whatever evidence they have and then they move on or they move up. And there's many cases that we don't talk about that have been very good search warrants, but we don't talk about it because we're moving up the chain.
And so this one was like a storage house, and what was...
Both were residences. And the sad part is, District Attorney Mike Kane said, one of the kids was very autistic, and for a legal firearm to be out there, just who knows what could have happened. That's what I'm happy about, is that no one got hurt in any of these search warrants. And what did we prevent here? We'll never know. If a bag of the size of a packet of sugar could kill hundreds of people, you have 3/4 of a kilo of fentanyl, which is very inexpensive. But it goes to show that the people that sell the fentanyl have a total disregard towards their customers, because it's not even an overdose. You're giving somebody poison. You're poisoning the person. It's not about overdosing. It's about just poisoning your customers in the community. And not to mention, I got to say, over the years, fentanyl came into play, but we never knew what it was originally. It didn't test for heroin. It didn't test for cocaine. It's a synthetic. So how many times were these substances handled by law enforcement without knowing what we knew now, that it's so dangerous, right? So that training has helped a lot in all of us training our people, boots on the ground, to be very, very careful with all this.
So the third defendant there, is this a personal like stash of weapons?
I hope so.
Or is this like
this is what he had at his residence. And these weapons are legal because he's a convicted felon. He should not have any weapons whatsoever. I mean, look at the arsenal that he has, right? But He shouldn't possess a handgun, let alone, these rifles and so forth.
Do you know where he got them from? Are you able to stop that pipeline coming in?
Well, every investigation leads to another investigation. So, our investigators, that's a very good question. They're going to look into where they came from, how they were purchased, were they straw purchases? Did he buy them from somewhere else, somebody else that possessed them illegally? So, it doesn't stop here. It continues. But it's sad to see a guy like Delshawn Hamilton. I mean, when I was a detective, I arrested him, and he's still around selling the same product, fentanyl. There's a failure.